One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
If scary movies give you dread, keep you up late night in bed, here's a podcast that will help you ease your mind. We'll explain the plot real nicely, then we'll talk about what's frightening so you never have to have a spooky time. It's Ruined.
Hello, welcome to Ruined. I'm Hallie.
And I'm Allison.
We're just two gals in the void chatting about a horror movie that we're going to ruin just for you.
Just for all you. Hallie?
Allison, no.
No.
You first.
Okay,
Allison, how you
fine.
Doing?
I'm bad.
Okay. I'm so sorry.
As if I'm not bad all the time. But there's a specific new. Somehow, like a week ago, my face had some kind of allergic reaction to something that I cannot pinpoint. I have used no different products. I have eaten no different foods from normal. I have, I've been using the same laundry detergent for, 2 months. I have no new fabrics in my life. My whole head itches. It's mostly, around my mouth. And, it doesn't, At first I was like, oh, it feels like a sunburn kind of, and I thought it was a sunburn, and then I was like, oh, maybe the sunburn, and then my lotion is interacting with I don't know, but
boy,
it sucks. And I'm just like, can you just develop a random allergy?
You can.
Out of
apparently.
Nowhere.
Yeah.
Which that's what I'm afraid of.
What do you think you're allergic to?
I don't know. I use really gentle skincare products, so it doesn't look that bad. It's just I'm a little redder.
Doesn't look that bad.
Okay. Well,
I mean, could it be environmental? Could it be pollen or something in the air?
I mean, I'm allergic to pollen and have really bad seasonal allergies, as we both very much suffer from. But
yeah.
I don't think it's quite that. I don't know. It's this kind of just mystery that's not the biggest deal, but it is how do I figure? I guess I have to go to a dermatologist.
I guess my question is, if you take a Zyrtec or Benadryl, does it go away or is it just lingers?
I haven't taken anything any antihistamine or allergy type stuff. So I guess I could try that. It feels so I'm not someone who gets hives or breaks out with allergic stuff. So it feels just and it's pretty localized to being in one area of my face where I'm I think it's something that's outside in, not inside out.
Yeah. Also, this is basically what going to the doctor is in America right now. It's just trying to describe something to a friend.
Yeah, right. I'm getting about the same treatment.
I guess I feel go to the doctor.
Yeah,
first
I think
of
that's
all.
What I'm going to do.
And not that this is the exact same, but recently both Elsa and I were on Doug Loves Movies, and then I was on again. And right before I was on it, there's a fig tree. I live in LA. And so there's fruit trees. And I will just, if they're overhanging the street, I will just take them because otherwise they just fall on the sidewalk and rot. And I picked a fig. And I've done this before out of the same tree. And I usually, of course, rinse it off when I get home. But because I'm an ape, I just bit into
it. Shoved it in your mouth. Yeah.
And it has sort of a sticky, white sap on the top of it.
Oh no.
And I guess I'd always rinse that off before I bit into it. And then the sap was on my lips and then my lips and my mouth started to go numb. And I'm like, am I going to go into anaphylaxis while I'm doing Doug Loves Movies? Because I'm going to be pretty fucking pissed about that. But then I was like, so I just took a Zyrtec, and then I was like, hey, guys, if I stop talking, just, you know, I probably had...
Call 911?
Yeah. It ended up being fine. But similarly, I was like, I've eaten this fruit. It's obviously not the fruit. It must be the sap I'm allergic to, or like have some sort of reaction
to.
Yeah. There was just that moment of like, oh, I wasn't planning on having some sort of horrific allergic reaction today, you know?
Oh, God. It's just like everything about being a human who's alive in the world right now is terrible.
It is hard to...
Like, physically.
I don't mean to say this the way it's going to sound, but like I was reading some about, you know, climate change. And they're like, well, you know, either this is going to be just how it is for a while, or over the next 2 decades, we will slide into... what could potentially be total climate collapse. And I'm like, well, time to go record our podcast.
Oh,
and,
boy.
But also, like, that. What else can we do? You know? I mean, right. I mean, we probably should be, I don't want to say blowing up yachts, but I think that's where a lot of us are going to end up. And we just maybe all should plan for that. Mm-hmm. Not today, but perhaps tomorrow. And again, I don't say this to alarm people. It's just, you know, as things get worse, we're going to want to feel like we could do something about it. And why not do now? And I appreciate everyone who is a climate activist or is doing anything regarding the climate. You know, watching just people try to demonstrate in any way possible, you know, it's, I don't know, my heart really goes out to anyone who's doing anything, and it makes me be like, okay, well, I don't know what to do, but I could at least show up somewhere and hold a sign, so.
Yeah, I'm used to walking around outside now, so I can do that if that is helpful.
Yeah, and, you know, that's what's going on with me, I think, sort of, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You know, I imagine, listener, you're going through much of the same.
We're all going through it. And at least now I have a hat for Riz that a friend bought me, so I'm going to try.
Could you describe it?
For those that are watching, it's a little fruit cap. It looks like the top of a fruit goes on the top of your cat's head, and it has a little strap underneath so it can stay on because it needs to stay on. And it was a mystery box, and I got the strawberry. So Riz has a little strawberry hat that I know he'll never wear. But if I can make it happen, it'll show up on the ruined Instagram.
Yeah, I just think of all things cats like, having something really tight around their ears does not seem like
this. This is pretty loose. Like, it's not, like, super tight. So I think that, I mean, he has a little tiny head because he's a little tiny baby. But, you know, we'll give it a whirl. Strawberry cat.
Strawberry cat. And Strawberry Cat will lead us to the future. Something has to, right?
Yes.
And with that in mind, we are starting out this month's theme. And this month's theme is not so dissimilar from last month, except it's Allison specific.
Yes.
The theme of October is Let's Scare Allison to Death, which, of course, we take that title from the classic movie Let's Scare Jessica to Death, which we will be doing later in the month.
Yes, of course, we must.
And these are our patrons on our Patreon have recommended movies. Thank you so much.
Yes.
We're going to be taking a gander at those. And these are all the scariest movies you can think of. And if they could be specific to Allison, that would be great. Which brings us to our first film.
Oh, boy.
Because I thought this would be particularly scary to Allison, because Allison is a water gal.
I am a water gal.
Loves to swim, loves to be at the beach. And the movie is, of course, 2003's Open Water.
Oh, my God. I'm so upset that we're doing this.
Which, for gals of our age, we both remember when this came out. This was sort of like, not Blair Witch level, but it was like... I mean, like, oh my God, the scariest fucking movie.
And like, also like total horror on a relatively simple basis.
And also based on a real story. So we will discuss that at the end.
Great. Yes. Can't wait.
And now, of course, we always like to have Allison watch the trailer. Allison, what did you think of the Open Water trailer?
No, I remember this trailer. I remember seeing it in theaters. I remember seeing it on TV and maybe the internet, depending on... When 2003
was? Yeah, it would have been online, I think.
I think I was, like, going on to, like, AOL's homepage and being like, are there movie trailers?
It was definitely
Apple.
Okay.
It was Apple had, like, I don't know. There was some website where it was just, like, all of the movie trailers that are out. And I'm like, that's my favorite thing. Here's where I think things fall apart for me. The dark?
Yeah.
Like, night.
Yeah.
that's like, it's like, obviously everything about the trailer is scary because everything about the concept of this where it's like, you're scuba diving and you come up and your boat is gone and you're in the middle of the ocean. But man, once night falls, it's a whole different ball game.
Yeah. I feel like this is such an intense primal fear of mine, mm-hmm. being in open water. I guess I suppose that's for everybody. That's not in any way like, well, a quirky thing about me. No, no, it's horrifying. But there is the thing that I really that really gets me about this movie is that it is so unrelenting.
Yeah.
And even we'll get into it, but boy, this really stuck with me. I'll tell you, Allison.
Oh boy, this is, you seem genuinely like moved by this in a bad way.
Yeah, I watched it last night and I was like, oh, well, again, because not that. I think, you know, art right now is particularly beholden to the based on true story. And I think we're kind of running up against the end of that. I you know, like,
yeah.
I love a true story, but also, of like, course. Let's mix it up a little bit.
Let's make some new stuff, too.
But this is haunting, which brings us to the baseline scary. Allison, how scary do you find the concept of open water?
Like, as someone who loves the water, I love being on boats. I love swimming. I love anything I can do in the water. I'm interested. I have no interest in being in water and not being at least in sight of land. Like,
I agree.
I need to know what direction land is. Like, even if you're like, I don't know how far it is before you can't see land when you're in the water, but like, even if it's a super far distance, like, at least if I'm like, oh, the land is there. Like,
yeah,
people who could help us are there. They can probably be aware of me. I could, if I had to, I could make it back there somehow eventually. Like, but open water where you're just in the middle of the ocean, like it is, pass.
I completely agree. Obviously, the characters in this movie also, they are scuba diving.
Right.
And that there's so many levels to me of claustrophobia. I've only ever snorkeled. I've never scuba dived.
Yeah,
obviously,
same.
If you're like certified.
I'm not a scuba diver.
The claustrophobia, the having something in your mouth underwater. Being underwater, being around a bunch of sharks and other fish that have their own business and you're entering their house.
Yes.
The weight of water on your body, the factor in the, like, there's so many steps that are not for me.
It's not for me. And even just also, like, there's the, like, if you're deep underwater, like, you can't go up too fast. So if something does happen or is happening, then it's like, oh, also gonna kill you.
Absolutely. Completely and absolutely. And before we begin, would you like to guess the twist in open water, Allison?
Guess the twist.
Would you say there's a twist in this?
I sure wouldn't. It's pretty straightforward what's going to happen to these people. And the horror is just knowing that it's inescapable and they are simply adrift in the middle of the ocean. With no protection or ability to stop what's going to happen.
I'm going to guess that they don't get rescued. And, like, kind of the thrill of it is that the people get there, like, just too late to rescue them.
Okay, great. Let us begin ruining open water. Allison, text on the screen up top, baby. Based on true events. We meet our main man, Daniel. He's loading up his hatchback with all of his luggage, including scuba equipment, not the tank, but everything else, you know. Mm-hmm. Your little face mask, your flippers, they got it all. Both he and Susan, who is his lover, who we're about to meet, are very busy. And we see Daniel, I'm not sure if he's supposed to be a heating and cooling man or a contractor, but he's calls his coworker, Dawn, and he's like, please don't put the boiler in until I get back. The house is going to be done in a couple weeks. The inspection's going to be then, so we don't have to rush into it. At home, we see Susan, also place your own call. I think she does, like, sports news.
Sure.
So she's like, find another producer. I'm on vacation. At least call someone for the pregame, you know?
Okay.
So they're very busy, so they're taking this vacation specifically to be like, we are going to spend time with one another. To me, they are both, like, 40 years old. I don't know, like, one or either of divorce, but, like, these are fully adult people who are trying to have this relationship get going. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And this is a struggle for, you know, busy people such as ourselves.
I understand.
You really do have to take time out. So they are doing it. And we also find out at a certain point that in their relationship, they have gotten scuba diving certified. So it's like a fun thing they do together. And now finally they're going to go, and they don't specifically say where they are, but they are an American couple based on their accents. And the unfortunately, the real couple, this happened off the coast of Australia over the Great Barrier Reef.
Oof, Australia. Yeah. Scary shit happens down there.
So let's say they live in LA, we're flying down to Australia. You know, okay, like, again, we are going to be gone. We are, you know, he picks up Susan and they get in the car. She keeps getting phone calls from her producer, Cal, to ask her what to do. And she also is bringing her laptop. And he says, you know, I don't even know if they have Wi-Fi there. Or they're like, oh, sorry, it probably wasn't Wi-Fi. It's like, yeah. I don't think you can get online there. She's like, oh, no, I checked, you can. And so, again, it's this dumbass Cal calling over and over again. And Daniel says, this is supposed to be vacation. And Susan goes, and boy, do we need one. Oh, I'm so sorry. This is the vacation of a lifetime. But with that, Allison, they're off. They're on the plane. And now they're at a beautiful beachside resort, presumably in Australia. We see an iguana. We see kids playing in the surf. Everyone's having
iguanas.
Tropical drinks. Like, we see them by the beach, relaxing in the sun, having a great time. Later, we see Daniel's working on Susan's computer. When she comes back, she is set up for the next morning a scuba excursion at 8:30 a.m.
See, that to me is not vacation.
Yeah, I'm going to stop you right there. But I guess it's like, these are such workaholics. They are the people on vacation. They need to have appointment. Like, we have to have stuff. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And he says, oh, here's your computer back. Do you want to check your email? She's like, no, but vacation. Time to enjoy the island. They go to, like, a bunch of different shops. They get a coconut to sip out of. We see party boats of drunk, mostly white people. You know, people, you know, just regular resort type stuff. She snaps a photo of Daniel putting his head in a big fake shark's mouth, which, of course,
that's fun.
You know, and then they walk side by side in the surf. And I wrote, me and who, Allison?
Oh.
Me and who? That night they...
Me and you.
Oh, well, that'd be nice.
I would go on vacation with you.
I would love that. I would love that. I will say I'm not a beach gal.
I like a
beach for about an hour, and it's like, I unfortunately will have to go to a museum or something. That's fine.
That's okay.
We can do our own thing.
Yeah.
That night they're laying nude in bed, and, they have sort of, I didn't know if it was aloe. They have some sort of like white substance on their face.
Oh, I wonder if it would make my face feel better.
Honest to God, it couldn't hurt.
I would ask them, but I don't feel like they're available anymore.
And Daniel, they kiss, and Daniel's like, so how are you doing? And Susan's like, you know, I'm fine. I am really stressed about work, but I'm trying to let go, you know. And he's like, well, maybe I get you to think about something else. But Susan tells him, I might not be in the mood. I'm kind of exhausted. And Daniel says, you're right. It's been a long day. And they hit the hay. And there's a funny moment where in the middle of the night they turn on the lamps, and then Daniel's on his knees in the bed with a rolled up magazine, is just trying to crush like a huge bug.
Yeah, see, that's the Australia I'm not interested in.
Yeah. The alarm goes off at 6:30. Daniel rolls over to cuddle Susan, and the beautiful morning in paradise stretches out past the window, and we see the glittering emerald sea. This water is green.
Mm.
And so we see, and sort of like everything we see sort of sets up how this might happen. So basically all these tourists are getting on the boat. Everyone brings their own gear except for the oxygen tanks are provided by this scuba boat crew.
Service.
Yeah. And it's obviously people who are all certified. The boat is pretty packed. It turns out there are 20 passengers. We see an older couple. We see some frat guys. We see a couple with their tween son. We see, like, another couple, like Susan and Daniel. So it's a very small boat. So you kind of already get, like, you're kind of cramped on, like, how would you lose track of two people? Well, it's kind of obvious. We meet our guy, Davis, who gets up and he announces everyone, like, welcome aboard the world-famous Reef Explorer. And here's our captain, Linda. Linda will stay on the boat during the excursion. So if anything ever happens, you can surface and wave to Linda and she'll see you. And Junior and I will be in the water with you. If you have any problems, just swim up to us and we will be monitoring the dive. They're headed to a dive site called Magic Kingdom. And he said, some of the fish you'll be able to see, moray eels, spotted eels, parrotfish, angelfish. And you're going to be swimming over the coral reef. So it's sort of like you'll just see all these different beautiful fish.
That is the one thing that that scuba appeals to me. And it's like being able to see coral reefs up close would be cool.
Yeah.
But I'm willing to miss that to not ever go scuba diving.
Yes. And someone says, will we see sharks? And David says, well, we are going to the open ocean. That is where they live, but they are not aggressive towards people, like especially in a group, so you will not be in danger. But as I always say, if you don't want to see a shark during a dive, close your eyes. And everyone laughs and laughs.
Not funny.
And we see them take a head count, 20 people. We arrive, they take the boat out, they arrive at the Magic Kingdom dive site, and he says everyone's going to be using the buddy system, so you have to go in with another person. Junior and I will be in the water with you, Linda will be on the boat, and you can give her the international distress signal, and he goes, help! Which I did think was funny.
That's fun.
Meanwhile, there's a diver there named Seth who's there alone. He's also not listening because he's lost his mask, and he's sort of frantically looking around everyone's feet. And he's like, has anyone seen? And everyone glaring at him because Davis is trying to give this safety. It's like, do you want to listen to a 10-minute safety talk or do you want to fucking die out here?
Yeah.
Like, grow up, you
this
know?
This isn't like being on a plane where it's like, I know how to put a seatbelt on. Let's like keep it moving.
Yeah. And eventually Seth just starts asking him, like, did you bring an extra mask? Nobody did because they weren't planning on you, Seth. And the crew didn't bring it because you have to bring everything except for the tanks. And David says, I'm sorry, you cannot dive without a mask. And Seth is pissed. He's like, I get that, Travis. And I was like, bring on the sharks. Bring on the sharks.
Chomp, chomp, baby.
And everyone's getting a little pissed, but finally Seth settles down. And David says, we're going down to the depth of 60 feet, which is where the reef is. And we'll be diving for 35 minutes. I don't know if that's a normal amount of time. Seems like plenty of time to me.
That's enough.
Everyone's doing 35 minutes. And then at 10:30, everyone comes back up. We'll load you back onto the boat and we'll take you back to shore. So off we go. Everyone's sort of jumping in the boat, and we see the timestamp. It's 9:45 a.m.
Okay. Again, I'd still be asleep at the resort.
Oh, 100%. I'd be so fucking hungover. Seth's like stewing on the boat while everyone goes down. We see a couple surface, not our couple, and Linda calls back to them, and the woman says, I can't equalize my ears, so I can't dive. I don't know what that is, but basically the pressure in her ears is such that she can't dive.
Okay.
So Linda says, we'll just come back up, and you guys will be on the boat. Sorry about that. You guys could go come back tomorrow, you know. And she has to swim back, and Junior notes on the clipboard, three scratches, so three on board. So it's Seth and this couple, three on board. Underneath the initial 20. However, Seth then says to the woman, oh, if you're not going to be able to dive, can I borrow your mask? And she says, yeah, go ahead. I'm not going to go back in. But Linda says, sir, you cannot go down without a buddy. And Seth basically bullies this woman's husband, whose name is Brian, to go down with him.
What a nightmare. Because
otherwise, yes, otherwise Seth can't dive. And Brian's like, that's fine. So they dive back in, right?
Okay.
And he's like, thank you so much. There's a place in heaven. There's a place in heaven for you two and you two, Linda. And they dive down. However, as you can see, the passenger count is then immediately going to get fucked up. Because Junior, who was in the water before he got in, said there are three on board.
Right.
Now there's one on board, which means there are two that there's confusion around. Okay. Right? And we see Daniel.
I do have some more questions, but I'm going to see if they.
Okay.
Because, like, wouldn't just counting the oxygen tanks be the answer?
Well, Allison, you'd think so. We see Daniel and Susan. They're doing backflips. They're watching Beautiful Fish. It does seem really magical if you're into that, but I could never. And then eventually, one by one, everyone starts to surface. About a half hour, Lyndon has them come up, checks the regulator, and then everyone, you know, gets in their seat. And everything's right as rain, Allison. Unfortunately, Junior is in charge of the count. And Junior looks like he's 20 years old, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, it should be like, if Junior writes it down, then Davis and Linda are checking,
yes.
Right? Junior writes, Davis and Linda check, then, you know, just to make sure, that seems like the way to do it.
Yeah.
So he, because he was in the water and didn't see Seth and Brian get back in, he's tabulating based on the three slashes already on the board.
Right.
Which is off by, say it with me, too, who will be our miscalculated two? Unfortunately, it is poor Susan and Daniel, who are using their, like, underwater camera to photograph fishes, having the time of their life, Allison. We see Seth and Brian get back on board, and Junior counts them again. But again, they're the double count.
Mm.
And at first I was like, how do people not recognize? Like, the 20's not that many. But I will say, like, 20 strangers, all of whom were, like, wearing sunglasses and hats or wearing masks. Like, everyone has
equipment. Why wouldn't you just do, like, a name roll call,
too? You should have to check it off.
There should be,
That's what you have to do now.
Several, like, it's like, we're counting the oxygen tanks, we're counting the people on board, and then we're not leaving the area until, like, all the manifest has been, like, completely
accounted
for. We read
your name, you raise your arm, and we write it down. Exactly.
Yes.
Everyone's having a blast, so when Junior counts up to 20, he tells Captain Linda, we got everybody. And Allison, with that, the boat pulls up its ladder and starts its engine, and they drive off, leaving Susan and Daniel alone in the middle of the open ocean. I'll ask it right now, Allison. What would you do?
What would you do?
I mean, do they come up with the boat anywhere in sight?
No. Oh. Allison, when they come up,
they don't even know what direction it went.
The boat's entirely gone.
And there's no way to know what direction you're facing. Like, do they have compasses? I feel like having a compass.
They have their camera, and Daniel has a dive knife, and that's it. We got no compass. We got no waterproof phone. We got no radio. They're just loose in the water with their scuba equipment on.
No.
But we do see, to your point, as the boat pulls away, we see the two slots where the tank should be. Count the air tanks.
Like, I'm just like, I'm upset by this, you know, excursion.
It's just unnecessary. It's an unnecessary mistake. And this is why, I will say this to you, listener, you have to be a loud, annoying bitch everywhere you go.
Yes.
Not in a mean way, but like in a fun way.
Where are you? Where's that loud bitch?
Say what you will about Seth being a huge monster on the boat. People would remember if he wasn't there.
That's
true. Oh my God, that annoying guy's out here. He's probably dead in the water.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
Unfortunately, Susan and Daniel surface. The boat is totally gone. And they see two boats in the distance. And they're like, oh my God, it must be one of those. We must have drifted. Maybe the current carried us. So Susan says, okay, like, let's start swimming towards the boat. But he's like, no, we should stay over this part of the coral reef. When we dove, there's sort of a three-pronged coral reef formation.
Yeah.
And it's right below us, so we should just stay over it because that's where they'll be returning. Once they figure it out, they'll figure it out and we'll come back. And we have to be over this part because this is the dive site.
They won't be able to find us.
Oh exactly.
God.
And Susan's like, you know, a coral reef in the middle of the ocean, but you lost on the way to my mother's. And he's like, well, yeah, I wanted to go to the coral reef. So they start waving their arms to flag down the other boats, but they're barely visible. And also they're at water level and they're wearing like black wetsuits. So they're not, it's not like they're like in bright white or reflective.
Right. Yeah. Like a safety vest where you're like, oh, that's how you see a person because it's orange and in the water. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Which you think maybe they should be doing.
Be allowed to dive in a black wetsuit.
Yeah. As they float there, they see a small airplane fly overhead. But again, they wave. It can't see them. And Susan puts her face in the water. Is like, I don't see the coral formation. Can you show me? And Daniel looks down and is like, okay, it's not below us. Not because we're in the wrong place. Because we're drifting with the current.
Yeah.
So Susan's freaking out. She's like, should we swim back there? He's like, we could do whatever we want, but we're in the ocean. The ocean is going to move us. Like, we are in the current now.
Oh, my God.
And that, I didn't even think about that.
Right. You can't stay in place easily.
And Susan already is sort of, like, turning on Daniel and is like, well, what are we going to do? Like, as if it's his fault or his responsibility. And I was like, Susan, you need to understand that you two are on a team. Yeah. And that team is, team, let's not die out here.
Yeah. Work together. You can get divorced when you get back if you survive.
Just then, the boat they were looking at starts its engine. They think, oh, great, the boat will come back. It must be the right boat. Allison, they wave. That boat is a party boat, and it just goes in the wrong direction. It doesn't even see them.
Are they screaming?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. But it's too far away. And again, I feel like I don't know how sound travels over water
I
out
don't
there, but the people just can't hear them. So just that we see the scuba excursion boat land back on the dock, everyone's getting out, and then under the bench on the boat is a bag full of Susan Daniels stuff. Nobody notices it. So even though they left their stuff there,
right,
you know,
it's like, this is entirely, like, sometimes I want to not victim blame, but, like, the people who end up in a bad situation are, you know, were careless at some point or something happened where it's, like, it's not their fault, but, like, their actions kind of, like, contributed to the scenario they're in now. This is entirely on the people that run the scuba.
Yeah. Absolutely. Just then, Allison, they see a shark's fin about 15 feet away. Break the water. Susan freaks out, and Daniel's like, hey, don't worry. They live out here. An hour ago, you were petting a shark. And she's like, that was basically a big catfish, and that was a kind of shark that is not, like, I don't know what it was, a carpet shark or something, but it's like, that was not a dangerous shark.
Carpet
and that
shark.
That wasn't an hour ago. That was 2 hours ago, Daniel. We've been out here alone for, like, an hour. Allison, suddenly the shark surfaces no more than 8 feet away, and they both fucking freak out.
Yeah.
Understandable.
I don't want to be that close to a shark. As someone who recently went to an aquarium, didn't see any sharks, though. No.
Yeah. Susan says, well, what do we do if it comes back? Do we splash? He's like, well, the sharks are attracted, based on what I know from Shark Week and, like, taking diving lessons, sharks are attracted to wounded fish, so just try to stay calm and not thrash around. Like, it's actually the thrashing that's probably attracting them.
Oh, the thrashing.
But it's hard not to thrash, you know? Susan is panicking, and they both put their masks on and look down, and they play this very, like, wordless, like, tonal singing, and we just see, like, shots of the waves in this, like, expansive ocean. And to me, it was very effective because it is sort of like you were at the mercy of
nature,
the planet.
Yeah,
like, you are out here. It is bigger than you. We are but a speck, you know.
Yes. I will say, like, TikTok has served me a few videos of, like, wild ocean stuff that's, like, not, like, people swimming around, but, like, massive boats getting tossed around by, it's like, you know, you see the ocean at the beach and you're like, ah, yes, but, like, being out in the middle of, like, real ocean is so terrifying.
Yeah.
It's another planet. It feels like another planet.
We cut to them and they're playing a movie game, and you can tell, like, Daniel's the one trying to keep it light, but Susan can, like, she's freaking out.
Yes.
She suddenly screams, Allison, something has either stung or bitten her ankle. And then Daniel screams and says, we got to get the hell out of here. And they start swimming, and they're basically swimming through a sea of jellyfish.
No. Yeah, it's like sharks are not the only thing.
Exactly.
Oy.
And unfortunately, now they're totally displaced from the dive site because it's like, we have to move to not be stung by jellyfish over and over again.
Right. Oh, my God.
And Susan says,
oh, my God, it's so stressful.
Susan's like, I have never heard of anything as fucked up as this, like, two people being left in the ocean. And Daniel says, actually, according to the dive magazines I read, it's actually more common than you'd think.
Okay, that's awful.
And Susan says, well, thanks for telling me before you ask me to get certified with you. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, that's nice.
Allison, they see another boat in the distance. Again, they're constantly doing the right thing. They take off their masks, and they're trying to, like, and cover with water and try to reflect the sun off of them to try to create, like, a mirror effect.
Okay. That's, I couldn't have figured that out.
I was like, these people are geniuses. Unfortunately, Allison, it is now overcast, and the boat just trundles away. And I'll say it here. I wrote my notes. This sucks shit. This is the
this
worst.
This does. This really sucks shit.
Finally, Susan says, what if they don't know we're missing? And Daniel, of course, is like, that's not possible. We still have their tanks. Our bag is on board. We checked in. We paid for it. Like, there weren't that many people. Unfortunately, Susan can't even reply because she says, oh, my God, my Dramamine is wearing off. So apparently she's seasick.
Oh, Christ. Also, they should collect the money after. That way you would definitely know if someone was missing.
Oh, that's smart. See, we should be running scuba excursions. No, we shouldn't. People would die.
No, we shouldn't. No, everybody would die.
Daniel says, you're probably just dehydrated. Also, don't drink the water. You didn't drink the water, did you? Susan's like, I just drank a little bit. And he's like, no, but you're joking, but please don't. He's like, I've watched Shark Week and Disasters at Sea, and people are driven to drink the water.
Right, because you get so thirsty.
Like, we know you can't, but also you will be tempted.
Especially when you're, like, in it.
Girl. So Susan gets more and more nauseous, and she and Daniel decide to drop the weights out of her weight belt, which also the excursion gave them. He's like, well, they could charge us for it if they want, but we're fucking suing these people. So they drop the weights out so it's not, like, pulling on her abdomen. Mm-hmm. And the water's getting colder, right? Because they're, like, out, their body heat's dissipating into the water. It's the middle of the ocean.
Right.
So they put their gloves on, And Susan's like, honestly, I think the salt water might be helping my jellyfish sting. So that's good.
Oh, I guess there's some silver lining to being abandoned at sea.
And she's like nauseous. And he's like, honestly, just lay back and I'll stay awake. Close your eyes. And if you need to relax and like, just because you're feeling sick, I will watch for the boat.
Daniel.
And she says,
I have to pee.
Okay.
This will be warm for a minute.
We see Susan sleeping at the time code 4:40 p.m. So they've been out there for hours. Mm. She's sunburned as hell.
Yeah, of course. There's like no protection.
Allison, we see a shark swim underneath her. And suddenly she's jolted awake by the shark. She doesn't know that because she's asleep. So it bumps into her. She jolts awake. But because she's like disoriented, she doesn't know what just happened. Allison, she looks over. Daniel's gone.
No.
Who will survive this movie?
Survive.
Oh, no one. No one's gonna survive this movie. It's not looking good. I don't know the story it's based on. I would hope that includes the people that run the scuba service. They should also die.
They'll die by suicide when they find out what they've done.
Yes. I'm gonna guess they both don't make it.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
Allison, she panics, but luckily she looks and she sees Daniel not too far away. He had also dozed off, and they started to drift apart, which is also terrifying. Well, it's like, well, of course you're going to fall asleep at some point, and then once you're asleep, you will then separate.
Right. You need to link yourselves together somehow.
Yes. So she swims to him. He swims back. He's screaming. They swim back together. And she says, oh, my God, my other leg hurts now, and something is tapping on it. Allison, she's been bitten by the shark that woke her up. A little bite, but it's still there. And now she's
bleeding
into the water. No. And little fish are nibbling on her flesh and blood.
Oh, my God, the ocean is full of horrors.
And Susan, as you would, vomits into the water in response to that.
Yeah, I would just start throwing up everywhere.
Yeah. And of course, Susan's like, it was a shark. A shark bit me. And he's like, no, it was just a barracuda. She's like, bitch, it was a shark.
Also, like, I don't care if it's a barracuda or if it's a shark. It bit me, so we're in danger.
And he says, no, it couldn't be a shark. If it was a shark, your leg would be gone.
Okay. That's not Allison, really helping.
She still feels the tapping as the fish start to eat her flesh. And Daniel says, just try not to focus on it. Because, yeah, there's nothing you can do about it.
I mean,
they don't need to wrap your leg. Yeah. Daniel suddenly has a leg cramp, but can't even focus on that because a shark surfaces 5 feet away.
Mm-mm.
And Susan's panicking, like, what kind are they? And Daniel says, it doesn't matter. They're the big kind.
Yeah.
And Daniel puts his, there's all these like great shots of like him putting, like one of them will put their head down and then you see the shark underneath them. So again, the surface seems fine. And you look down, there's a shark right fucking there. Mm-mm. Literally its face is looking at them.
No.
Because it smells the blood now.
Of course. And the vomit.
And so they start, exactly. Oh, sharks love blood and vomit.
I imagine the combination. That they're like dogs in that way, where they're like, are you going to eat that?
Oh, you guys going to eat that? By that, I mean you. So they start freaking out, and they hold onto each other so they don't thrash around. And Susan keeps asking, are they gone? And they're gone. It's like, even if they were gone now, you're in the ocean. They're going to come back.
Yeah.
Or other
their
or
living
other
room.
Sharks. Yeah. Yeah. They're also completely fucking sunburned, of course.
Oh my God.
Finally, Daniel, who's the one trying to keep it light while Susan loses it, he just starts screaming, "Unfucking believable! And the best part is that we paid to be out here. We paid those incompetent fuckers to drop us out in the middle of the fucking ocean."
Yeah. Yeah. Remember that when you're scooping.
And then, of course, because they're the only ones who can manage each other, Susan and Daniel get into a big fight. And she's like, "Stop yelling. You're not the only one out here." He's like, "Wait a minute. Are you telling me that you're mad at me? Are you blaming me for this?" And she's like, "I'm not blaming you. I just want to talk about it." And he's like, "How could you blame me? You agreed to go on this. Like, I love how, like, we've been out here for hours in the middle of the ocean and suddenly it's my fault." And she's like, "Let's just drop it." And I will say, this is my idea of hell. Not only are you stranded in the middle of the ocean, but your girlfriend's fighting. Also mad at you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Being
it's like,
in a
please.
Couple fight. Yeah.
Yeah. And she's like, "This is your fault." Basically, she's saying, like, the reason we're out here is that we came up too late and they left without us. He's like, "That doesn't make any sense. You know they wouldn't have done that." She's like, "Well, look where we are." And they're yelling at each other. It's like, "You refuse to swim with everybody else. We had to go off and, like, have our own adventure. And you always want to do something different." He's like, "Oh, well, we're blaming each other. The reason that we're here is because of you." Because apparently they had, like, a really nice vacation somewhere else planned. "And because of your job, we had to change the dates. We had to come here." Which, again, is like, that has nothing to do with anything.
Yeah, now we're just kind of nitpicking.
Exactly. And then Susan goes, "I wanted to go skiing." And they both fall silent. And we see Susan is just sobbing as we see sharks circle underneath them, Allison. God.
I mean, honestly, at least, like, a fight would distract me from my abject terror at what is about to happen
exactly.
to me. Like, at least you can be, like, screaming petty vacation planning nonsense at somebody and briefly forget that, like, something's eating your leg.
Yeah. A barge goes by and they try to wave. It's too far away.
Yeah.
And they cling to each other as the sun beats down. And Susan looks up and there are birds circling overhead. Even the birds know. Timestamp 6:45 p.m.
It's getting dark.
They see a buoy come into view and Daniel's like, "I can't believe how far we've drifted. Like, there's literally, we have no idea how far we've moved over the course of the day." So they decide, like, "We're going to swim to the buoy because, like, at least it's something. Like, I don't know. We'll just, a buoy for what? You know, in the middle of the ocean,
right.
Like, maybe there's some sort of radio on it.
At least they could, like, hang on to it."
Unfortunately, Allison, we see the sharks are trailing Susan and Daniel.
Well, obviously, they're.
As they make their way because they're bleeding.
Going to dinner.
And Susan tells Daniel, "I'm sorry, I love you." And they make up. So at least we have that.
Okay.
And Daniel very optimistically says, "We're going to have a story we could tell the rest of our lives." And then Susan goes, "Oh my God, Daniel, look." And she reaches into her pocket. She has a fistful of hard candy that was in her suit.
Okay, that's something.
And apparently she uses it because, which I didn't think about, is like her mouth gets really dry because you have the regulator in your mouth.
Yeah.
So she puts a piece of hard candy to, like, create saliva, and they both have one. They're like, "Oh, God, that's good. Hell yeah." But their pleasure is short-lived because the sharks decide to make a move on Daniel. They bump into him and bite his leg. And he, of course, in his shock, drops his dive knife out of his hand. Don't just hold your knife. Keep it in the holster.
Yeah, until you're really using it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And he starts screaming, "It bit me. It bit me." And we see from above the billow of blood just filling the water around them. So now all the sharks in
open bar invitation to sharks.
And Susan steps up and tells him, "I'm going to look at your leg. We'll figure it out." She looks, and it's a huge gash that's bleeding. They, of course, also drop their camera, which a shark snaps up. And Susan tells him, "I'm going to tie my weight belt around your leg to stop the bleeding." It dives down and ties it off. And Daniel starts shaking in pain because it's a horrible bite, right? But Susan grabs him, and now she has to be the strong one, and says, "You're going to be okay just in time for nightfall. The best time to be eaten by sharks." And we see back on land, everywhere, the Zorts, oh, they're drinking, they're dancing, they're having fun. Just Party City. Party City, Australia. And now it's 11:30 p.m.
Oh, my God.
In the distance, Allison... We see the lightning flash, and a storm starts rolling in. And we hear Daniel, like, shuddering, like he's shutting down. They're floating in the middle of the night, in the middle of a storm, surrounded by sharks.
Both injured.
And Daniel, it seems like, perhaps is bleeding out. And he sobs, "Oh, God, it hurts." And Susan says, "There's something rubbing across my foot, and we see the sharks are basically right under them. And all Susan could do is hold him and be like, I love you. I love you. Please hold on, Daniel. Please hold on. It's like, girl, that's not how it works. And Daniel screams as the shark bites his leg again. Allison, the storm rolls in as they are sobbing in the dark, being attacked by sharks in cold water with only lightning to illuminate them. We see dawn break over the resort. And again, the pool's looking nice. There's mourning doves gathering to eat whatever they mourning doves eat. I'm not some kind of bird sticks. Expert. Eating sticks. And we see the diving boat get ready. We see Davis arrive to prep the boat for the next trip out. And only then does he see Daniel and Susan's bag underneath the bench. Allison, he opens it and finds their dive certification cards, which has their photos on it and their information.
Yeah.
And only then does he realize, oh, fuck, these fuckers never made it back with us. And he runs off the boat, presumably to alert the ocean authorities.
Oh, my God.
The resort manager immediately goes to their room to check all their shit's there. They're not there.
Of course, they're not there.
And to this resort's credit, they call the fucking Australian Coast Guard.
Thank you. I mean, somebody's doing something right.
And so we see, like, there's a helicopter, there's an aquatic plane, and five search boats are sent out. Right? So, like, they're trying their best. We see Susan is in the water, still alive, but she has like a 1,000-yard stare, and she's just sort of cradling Daniel's corpse.
Which do you think is worse, to go first or second?
I would say first, because then I would feel bad leaving the other person there.
Yeah, and like they could still, like, you know, what if they survive and then it's like you died, like...
I would just feel bad for the person. I would feel worse for the person to survive.
Yeah.
So that makes me feel like I would rather be the one to live so that my partner doesn't have to deal with this.
Yeah.
But also, that's a conversation that every couple has to have. You know what I mean?
That's true. You do, especially if you like scuba diving.
Yeah. And Susan has this 1,000-yard stare, obviously, because what else could you do? And she kisses his dead face, and she cradles him, and then she takes off his tank and lets him go. And his body is pretty much immediately pulled under the water by sharks. And we see the search effort, but Allison, at this point, Susan and Daniel have been drifting for nearly 24 hours. So right. It's like, how the fuck do you even know where they are? And I guess you look at the currents, yeah. But
you don't know how far two people could travel, and they certainly were swimming around a little bit at one point, so it's like...
Yeah.
Hey.
And there's, like, this excellent shot of, like, Susan staring in the water, again, totally out of it, and then, like, the camera dips below, and we see there's, like, at least 12 sharks.
Of course.
Underneath. And as we watch, she takes off her life vest and her tank... She pulls off her mask, and she holds her nose, and she dips below the water. And she never comes back up. And over the credits, we see a boat arrive in a marina carrying a dead shark. And they start filleting it, and they open up the stomach, and inside is Susan's camera. And we hear one of the fishermen says, wow, I wonder if it still works. The end. And I just want to tell us a little bit of the real story is about Tom and Elaine Lonergan, who unfortunately, this literally happened to. It's also happened in the Coral Sea off of Australia in 1998. It was a similar thing. They were on a scuba diving excursion. Allison, their absences were not noted by the boat crew until 2 days later.
I mean... that has to have shut down that enterprise.
I have to assume not one shred of a possession, no camera, nothing has ever been... They're presumed dead, but they've never been able to be able to find any shred of them.
I mean, how could you? Like...
Yeah.
They're at the bottom of the ocean.
It was funny because people are insane. Like, I guess after they disappeared, like, some people were suggesting they, like... had faked their own disappearance or something. I mean, but the skipper was eventually charged with an unlawful killing. Yeah. And he was found not guilty, but he did plead guilty to negligence. And the whole, like you said, the whole enterprise, which is called Outer Edge Dive, had to fold.
Yeah, I mean, you can't do that.
And
though I do have to imagine that it is not, that's probably not the only instance of this happening. Like,
absolutely.
Like, maybe some people are, you know, it's recognized much sooner and they can go back and find people. But, like, I got to imagine this happens.
And it led to, according to Wikipedia at least, Queensland government introducing a stiffer regulations, including, like you said, the requirement that captains and dive masters independently confirm passenger headcounts.
Yeah. Like, you just, like, even if you're like, I know who's here, like, you just need at least a second set of eyes and like a real it can't just be like tick marks on a paper.
Allison, what are some fatal mistakes people have made in the movie Open Water?
Fatal mistakes.
Scuba diving?
Yeah. Prominent mistake.
Yeah, it's the big one. Scuba diving. Yeah. I mean, once they came up and there was nothing there, I mean, what could they do?
Yeah, that's the question.
I don't know that there's anything that they were doing that, like, that they could have done something else. Like, I guess, like, maybe swim towards boats? I don't know.
Yeah.
But, like, they're so far away and you've got a scuba tank. Like, it's not easy. I don't know. Just scuba diving. Scuba diving, I think, is the biggest fatal mistake. And then, like, of course, many, many a mistake aboard that boat. That led to their death.
Yeah. It's not so much the mistakes they made. It's the mistakes everyone else made. You know what I mean?
Yes, exactly.
And that is a tough nut to crack, to know that you were at the whims and the wilds of not simply nature, but of...
like a 20-year-old.
Some 20-year-old that was hired, probably doesn't even make minimum
wage.
Summer
job.
And just nobody double-checked. And, you know, I guess this is why we have to have these kinds of regulations or else just say nobody check it, you know?
Yeah.
And then where would you place Open Water on the spooky scale, Allison?
A spooky scale.
This is an 8. Like, this is solidly an 8. This is so scary.
Yeah.
And, like, it's all real. This could, if you scuba dive, this could happen. And then it's, like, again, I think it's the relentlessness of, like, there's no break. There's no moment. There's no hope.
Exactly.
It's just a march toward a watery death.
Yeah, I think that this really speaks to so many, like, to me, it's like, there are a lot of things we do that are scary or gory or upsetting, but there is something that was so viscerally scary about this. And I guess it is just sort of like, as a human being displaced from any sort of control. And I don't know. It fucking rattled me, man. I'm going to give it an 8 too. I'm going to give it an 8 as well.
It's a real 8. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, everybody, hope you enjoyed this. We are going to, of course, keep trying to... my goal is 8 and higher the whole month.
Yeah, I think we could get there. I think there's lots of scary movies out there that I'm going to not like.
Great. I'm so glad. Thank you, everyone, for joining us.
Yes.
And we will see you next week.
Yes.
Until then, please. Double check the head count on your scuba excursion.
Yes. Do a roll call.
And keep it spooky.
And keep it spooky.
Bye.
Don't forget to follow us at Ruin Podcast and Crooked Media for show updates. And if you're as opinionated as we are, consider dropping us a review. Ruined is a Radio Point and Crooked Media production. We're your writers and hosts, Hallie Kiefer and Allison Leiby. The show is executive produced by Alex Bach, Sabrina Fonfetter, and Houston Snyder, and recorded and edited by Kat Iosa. From Crooked Media, our executive producer is Kendra James, with production and promotional support from Ari Schwartz, Kyle Sieglin, Julia Beach, Caroline Dunphy, and Awa Okolati.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Host. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethost.com/terms.